Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Great to see you all. And here we are. So this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and Madeline's right here. You want to say hi, Madeline? She's right here, too. Yeah.
Hello.
And thank you all for joining us. This is August 21st, 2025. Good to see you, Sean. Thanks for joining us. And everyone, Kenny and Lisa, Andy. Everyone, Judy. The song we just heard, we just played three pieces from the Animal Song CD, and Madeline and I were just saying how when we were in the studio creating that one, that was called Deer Song. Before that was Cow Song, Turkey Song, Cow Song, Deer Song. And the Deer Song, they don't really have a voice. They don't have a call like cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys and ducks and geese. They all have a voice, but deer. So we just had the frogs in the forest, and I always love that. You're just kind of connecting with nature and the beauty of the sounds of nature. So we just had a really relaxing afternoon, kind of an unusual situation. We took our kayak out and inflated it and went out on the lake and paddled around all the way over to the other side of the lake where there's a big beach and took a swim there, and we found some blackberries along the shore at one point and picked some blackberries and ate them, which was really delicious. And Madeline brought us some of the figs from our fig tree and some of the sugar plums that we have from our Mirabelle tree too. So we had a nice little treat out there and paddled around. It was really a hot day here, and so it was great to swim and relax. Since today is, I don't usually talk about it, but this is, I should mention it, but I was born in August 21st, 1953. So this is 72 years. And I have to say, you know, this morning when I got up, it's very surreal to realize, you know, these years that I'm 72. And just the other day I was, you know, 5 years old and 8 years old and 10 years old. I can still remember all of that. Like it's just very fresh, and all of the adventures. You know, I really feel so blessed to have had such a wonderful adventurous life with my wonderful partner Madeline here, and with all of you, and the vegan mission. You know, is such a fantastic thing. I mean, we know the terrible suffering of animals and ecosystems and humans, but to understand the situation and to be able to do something to help make a better world for everyone, for animals and for everyone is really, I think, a tremendous blessing and an honor and a privilege. Some people feel like it's a heavy weight to carry, knowing all the suffering and so forth, and I certainly understand that. It's excruciating to be aware of the suffering of animals, but it's such a fantastic thing, I think, to come to a planet where there's all kinds of problems and disharmonies and to be raised right in the middle of it, you know, and to be eating hamburgers and hot dogs and cheese and all of that. And to somehow, through the grace of other people very often and our own inner wisdom that starts to mature, I guess, we escape from that prison. And then we say to everyone, come on out, you know, it's great out here. And they don't want to come. They're like, no, no, no. And, I always think of the Buddhist teachings, really, about veganism. I think I've mentioned it maybe here once before, but I'll mention it again because I think it's really so apt. You know, there's in the Buddhist teachings, usually considered two primary vehicles, the Hinayana vehicle, the Mahayana vehicle. In Tibet, they talk about the Vajrayana as a third vehicle. But the idea underlying it is that these are teachings to help us awaken. And so the original early teachings, the Hinayana, from Southeast Asia, that's very often considered a goat cart. And then the Mahayana teachings that emerged later, more in China and in Eastern Asia, is considered an ox cart. It's a larger vehicle. But both of them, and the Vajrayana too, is in Tibet, they're all vehicles. And the idea was that there are vehicles that when they say goat cart and ox cart, we don't know what that means. I mean, it's a vehicle on one level, right? You pull something. But the idea actually was that it's a toy. It's a toy that you play with. And so the idea was that the Buddha said, you know, we're in this, we're born into this world, and we don't know what we're doing here. We're lost in confusion. And we try to have pleasure, and we try to have success, and we try to put on a good mask and please people and get ahead and so forth. And he said, we don't realize that we're in a house that is on fire. The house is burning. And so he said, if we realize that, then we leave the house and we get outside and we're free from being in this burning house, which is really, even the pleasures are actually suffering. If once we get to a higher level of vibration, if people say, oh, I could never give up bacon and cheese, it's so delicious. And as vegans, we think that pleasure is really misery, really, for you, for them, for everybody. It's nothing, it's not that great. And that's really true for everything in this world, actually. So, but the whole idea was that the Buddha, you know, he said, so we get out of the burning house, but then we look back in the window and we see all these people in the house, and we're trying to get them out. You know, so we go in and we go back in and we say, everybody, the house is burning, the house is burning, you know, get out, get out. And they just think, no, I like it in here. It's good. It tastes good. It's fun. We're having a good time. And nobody leaves. So he said, the only way you can get people to leave the house is if you go outside and wave to them through the window and show them this wonderful ox cart or this wonderful goat cart that you have out here, this toy. And they'll go, oh, look at that. And then they come running out, and they're now. And so you kind of get them out of the burning house by this toy of the goat cart. So in a way, all the great spiritual teachings, wonderful as they are, in many ways, they're just little conveniences that are used to help get us out of the burning house, to help realize the situation we're in and stop relying on the material world for happiness and start connecting with our own inner wisdom and start being a force for kindness and compassion. And so I feel that quite a bit in our movement, because we're always trying to figure out how we can spread the message effectively and be a dynamic change maker, something like that, and change the world. And really, ultimately, it comes back to ourselves. So that's my, I feel like any gifts that I get, they're really like the little goat cart. They're like something that we get when we're in a house that's burning, and it can hopefully wake us up and remind us that we have spiritual work to do. That when we do spiritual work, and that can be everything. That can be talking to people. It can be being silent, quieting our mind, being in nature, writing, and eating, everything, actually. It really depends on our attitude. Activism, of course, is part of that. Advocacy, but not, it depends on how we do it. Everything depends on our attitude. All right, so much love to all of you. We're going to go ahead and start, as we always do, with a short meditation. And then I'd like to, actually, since we have our good friend Sean Hutchins with us, who we met at Hippocrates Health Institute, and he lives mainly in Asheville, North Carolina, but he has a Sprinter van. So we even did a little vanning together there for a day or two up in Ocala, I remember. Parking in a hotel for the Ocala Veg Fest about 4 or 5 years ago. But he's going to, if you don't mind, Sean, you can address us for a couple of minutes just about your the land you have there. That might be interesting. But let's first do our meditation, and then we can open it up for any questions and thoughts that you have. So we're still here in Hidden Valley Lake, as I said earlier, if you joined us late. We're here, and it's kind of a hot day, but it's great. And I'm at the piano, so let's go ahead and connect together in the spirit of receptivity as we go into our time of meditation. And through our practice of inner listening. So with every exhalation, we allow ourselves to expand our consciousness. Opening to the infinite light. That shines always. The very heart of our being. It shines at the heart of the universe. It shines in the heart of all living beings. Give thanks. For this precious incarnation, this opportunity that we have every day to do our best, to be a force for loving kindness, compassion, for healing and for freedom, for understanding, for joy, for tenderness and mercy, for honesty, abundance, and we give thanks for the whole web of relations in which we are all embedded, knowing that as we deepen our connection with our purpose, that the infinite wisdom that is our true nature goes before us always, so that we connect with others who we are in alignment with to help unfold our purpose and the awakening of humanity on this earth, that we are serving, that we are doing our best to be a vehicle in support and to encourage. The best seeds of caring that live within the heart of everyone. And so as we enter more deeply into this present moment, this holy moment of union with the infinite silence of being that gives rise to all the beautiful expressions of life that is our true nature, that was never born and will never die, we especially send our love and appreciation to the animals of this earth who show us wonderful examples of living harmony with nature and with their purpose. And we give thanks for the beauty that they bring into our lives and the continual reminder that we have real work to do, that our work really does matter. That we are chosen for this work. The most difficult work of all in many ways. And we give thanks to all of our spiritual brothers and sisters of all times and all places who have committed their sacred energy and time and talent and resources to helping to raise awareness about the truth that we can thrive and celebrate our lives on this beautiful earth without harming animals or each other, that we can live in harmony with the created order, and that it is our destiny to do so, that we are on the path of awakening, not only individually, but collectively, that every effort that we make contributes to the healing and to the awakening of humanity during these critical times. So now we enter into our time in the meditation where we generate the four dimensions of our true home: love, compassion, joy, and peace, to actively and with awareness radiating these infinite powers that are our true nature. So with every inhalation now, we engender in our heart the feeling of loving kindness, benevolence, and goodwill. And with every exhalation, we radiate love in all directions to all living beings. Breathing and radiating love abiding in our true home, sending love to every one, human and non-human, friend and foe, abiding in our true home of love. With every inhalation now, we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion, allowing compassion to fill our consciousness, the yearning that all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, and the yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others. And with every exhalation, we radiate compassion in all directions. May all beings be happy. May all beings be at peace and free from suffering. May all beings be free. Compassion encircles the earth from our hearts for all beings everywhere, abiding in our true home of compassion. And now with every inhalation, we gender in our heart the feeling of joy, the great joy that is inherent within our consciousness, the joy of being. And with every exhalation now, we allow this feeling of joy to overflow from our heart in ever-expanding circles and spheres of light, filling the whole world with the truth of joy. Understanding the true nature of life and of ourselves, we are always abiding in joy, in love for all beings, in compassion for all living beings. And so now we engender in our heart the feeling of peace and equanimity, the peace that is always present. And with every exhalation, radiating peace in all directions, filling the whole world with the truth of peace, and seeing the whole earth bathed in the light of harmony, the joy of freedom, of loving kindness, of compassion and respect, of abundance and truth, of beauty, and radiant health and harmony, abiding in our true home of love, compassion, joy, and peace. So together now, breathing, radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace into the infinite web of relations as a blessing to all living beings of the past, present, and future. Thanks for each other, for all our loved ones, for this great cause of the liberation of all beings from delusion of separateness, for the benefit of all. And may we each, through the days ahead, in every way, in every day, in every way, fulfill our purpose for this incarnation for the benefit of all as part of the awakening of humanity. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining together in our time of meditation. And here we are. So if you have any pressing questions, we have this is really our time. So we have typically we like to go for about at the maximum of 90 minutes. So we have just about an hour left. And always feel free if you'd like to raise your hand down below or under React. You can do that. I'd like to turn it over to Sean for a few minutes. Are you comfortable with that, Sean, to talk a little bit about your land in
sure.
Nashville? Because I thought it would be just nice for people to be aware of your vision and the resource that you have there. And there's not only the people that are here, but there'll be quite a few people who will be listening to the recording also over the next few days and weeks. So I'll just briefly introduce you. So Sean Hutchins is a vegan advocate that we met at Hippocrates Health Institute. And as soon as we saw him, we thought, who is this guy? And we hit it off right away. And he's involved in many different things, and a lot of it's all fascinating. But the thing that I just wanted to focus especially on during our call here is this land that he has a vision for in North Carolina outside Asheville that might be interesting for some of us. So I'll just go ahead and turn it over to you, Sean, if you'd like to say a few words about that, and we can ask questions if anyone has any questions or comments.
So. Yeah, thanks for that, Will. So when I first met Will and Madeline at Hippocrates, I saw Will coming out of the lunch line, and I just like, that guy looks really interesting. So I went over and we had lunch together, and you know, I didn't know anything about Will at the time, so it's been a great journey. Yeah, good times. Thanks for this opportunity, Will, and I'm really happy to share this with everybody. This land that I purchased in North Carolina, it's 150. Well, I'd like to see this go to like a vegan community, a vegan project, a vegan retreat center, you know, like vegan being like the foundation for this land, right? So it's 150 acres. It has a wonderful, bold, year-round creek and an amazing waterfall that we could use for hydroelectric as well. But the waterfalls, it's fantastic, and people that love waterfalls have been praising like their interest in this waterfall because like you can play with it and you can soak in the little pool at the bottom, and it's about 30 plus feet. The land is largely forested, so there's a lot of old logging trails through the property, and the most of the trails are gentle enough that you can walk them pretty easily. There are some steep areas within this property, I want to get it out there to and get in touch with as many people that are committed to living a vegan lifestyle. And we could build things. There's currently a 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath house on the property it's currently rented. I'm renting the place right now to help pay the mortgage. Still got a mortgage on the property. And, there's a few, older barns. One of them has potential to be, restored fully. The other two, there's one that's questionable, and the other one's probably a tear down for materials. I'd like to get involved in food growing systems, off-grid systems, I would just encourage anybody that is interested in sharing this, or reaching out to me,
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can. How would you like to be contacted, through your phone or your email or both? You can put it in the chat, maybe.
Oh yeah. Phone's good. I'll put my phone and email. They're both good. The phone is probably better. The email might go to spam. I might not see it. So
right.
I think phone is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, you can put your phone in, and I just think, you know, I know it's a beautiful area. You're right outside Asheville. It's a relatively benevolent climate and so forth. So,
thank you. I didn't mention that, the location. That's important. Yeah, we're just about 40 minutes from downtown Asheville, and the town is Marshall. It's Madison County, and but I can share the address and other mm-hmm. details with people if they choose to reach out.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's just a great thing. It's difficult, I know, and many logistically to get these communities off the ground. But if we have people working together, it's always possible, and it's a great thing to focus on to help build vegan community. I, you know, my story. It was at the farm what got me to go vegan, that vegan community back in 1975, and then of course the spiritual community in Korea, Sanglongsa, was also a vegan community that even more deeply solidified. So living in a vegan community is a great practice, and it's something that we need more of it in our world. It's not for everybody. Some people are just like where they are. They don't want to move or whatever. But if you have a feeling of maybe liking to jump into something and help out, I'm sure Sean would love to hear from you. And, okay, good. I see you have your number down, the 414 area code number. Maybe I'll just say it. It's okay to say it out loud because people, I'll just say it. 414-248-4889.
4689.
4689. Yeah, 4689. And it's because some people on the listening on the recording. And good. So thanks, Sean. It's really great to have. It's like a blank canvas in a lot of ways. Just needs some love and some resources and intentionality. And we recommend people connecting with Sean about this if you have any interest at all. Does anyone have a question? It looks like Andy might have a question. I'm not sure. Are you waving your hand there, Andy? Or yeah, go ahead and unmute if you'd like.
There we go. Well, I had questions before he spoke. Now I only have 1,000 more. So one issue, and I know I'm on the fearful side rather than the positive and meditation side. But one issue, and especially because I think you said he was doing the van life and you were doing the van life. And so this has got me super stressed lately, is Trump's executive order that makes it legal now that they can literally take anyone that's either homeless or living in a vehicle and institutionalize us. So for claiming we are either drug addicts, alcoholics, or mentally ill. Mentally ill is the big one that they're going after to claim everybody is, and that's how they get to, you know, take more people down. So that's my one big issue, and I'm trying to learn Spanish, and I don't know if I'd have the courage to move to Mexico, and now I'm hearing about this, and I'm just curious. So a couple things. One is permits, because if you're going to build on the property, what I've heard from so many property owners is the government is making it near impossible to get permits just to build on the property. So would you be, when you talk about the barns and things like that, would you be going to the government for permits, or would you be just trying to build on your own? And or is there any chance this could be included, like having a farm animal sanctuary as well, besides a vegan thing? Because I don't know. I could be interested. Oh, and the weather year round there.
Well, I don't know how much time Will wants to spend on this subject, but I'll answer this question, and then Will, you let me know how much more time you want to spend on this. One nice thing about Western North Carolina is we're high enough in elevation that we have cooler summers, but we have, you know, the winters are mild, right? So if you're growing food outdoors, yeah, you're going to get shut down at a certain time of the year because it does get that cold. But you can do an indoor greenhouse relatively easy. We could do an in-ground greenhouse easy. to answer your question about building permits. So, if you're doing a farm, you don't need building permits for a farm. Anything agriculture, the only permit you need is for electricity, right? So if you're running electric, they just want to make sure you're doing it right. As far as homes go, yeah, there's building permits required for that. You know, ideally they're going to want you to have septic systems, and their main concern is you getting rid of your water, right? So you could put a septic system in and never use it, but you're still up to code. You can do your composting toilets. You can get rid of your water any way you want. I think that, you know, I like composting toilets because I feel like, you know, going to the bathroom in water is just sometimes
right.
Maybe not the best way, but,
if I'm hearing you correct, it sounds like you would be looking for people to buy properties on your land and build, like,
well,
do our own thing, or?
I'd like to create, like, a partnership there. Now, I suppose there could be, like, some selling of land, but I'd like to keep the land together, and then even neighbors are selling property occasionally, right? Like I have one neighbor right now that's selling I don't know how big the home is, probably at least 3 bedrooms. And he's selling a house for like around 650,000.
Oh, okay.
And that, does border part of the property. So there are parcels that will come up for sale around it. This piece I'd like to keep intact. But I'm open to it, right? I'm open to it. My main concern, is if I were to separate the property and sell, is that, you know, it's going to somebody who's really committed to this lifestyle, right? Because I think that's important. I know people sometimes that have been like, oh, I was vegan for a while and then I decided to change. And so, so I think that's a consideration, like, you know, that sometimes people decide to take a different, you know, turn in their lifestyle, you know. And so that's one of my biggest hesitations with, like, separating the property. Plus, too, when you separate the property, you know, the taxes go up because now it's a smaller piece. And there's other – which – now, I'm paying $1,000 a year on this huge parcel, right? It's 1,100 bucks a year right now for the whole 150 acres. Most all of it's in a forestry program, which offers that discount. If it wasn't in a forestry program, the taxes are maybe around $3,500 a year, but those are all deferred.
I was just thinking more because it sounded like that's what you were saying. I was not interested in buying a property, but that's what I thought you were saying, and that would be required. So that's what I was trying to understand, was what were you looking to have, or were you looking to have maybe buildings where people would rent, sort of, or share in some way?
Well, so right now it's a lot of work for me out there, right? Like, I've got this huge asset. It's a fair amount of work, right? And I don't have the money to, you know, take it all the way to in like a retreat center. Like, we could do retreats right now. Probably with just the way it is, right? We could have makeshift bathrooms. We could bring a trailer in. There's things that could be done to make it useful just the way it is without spending that much. But like, I'm renting the house out. I don't live there full time because, I need the income from the rent of the house to pay the mortgage. So that helps me. That helps a lot. So, there's tiny houses. We can, I'm open to pretty much everything that has a vegan foundation to it. Right. So,
okay.
I do think that a lot of people that want to live here are going to need some kind of an income. Right. So that needs to be, like, some people might already have their jobs online, but some people might want to create an income off the property. I know there's a lot of interest in sharing the vegan message. So, you know, I'd love to have people coming to the property and experiencing that kind of lifestyle, whether it's for the day, for the weekend, long term. We could also bring in some other things too, like I've got a hyperbaric chamber that's in my house downtown that I could bring out there. There's an infrared sauna on the property right now. And we could bring more stuff, you know, so.
Thanks, Sean. That's interesting. Lisa, you had your hand up. Did you want to ask a question or make a comment?
Yes, I do. Sean, I know you have a beautiful website you put together with pictures of your property, and you also named it World Peace something, garden or something.
I've been looking for a name for a long time, and so the name that is I'm using now is the World Peace Lifestyle Sanctuary. So and I love the connection between world peace and diet and lifestyle. I love that you know how those work together. So that's the current name for it right now, and I do have a website I put together. It's pretty basic. Mostly what you'll see on it is some photos of the property and the waterfall.
Can you put the link on there?
I will. Let me
pull it. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, if you can put the link. And I think probably at this point, if people have specific questions, they can address them by text or phone or go to the website to learn more. Probably would be the best way to go now, unless there's any final questions or comments or thoughts.
I have just a quick question, Sean. I'm wondering how the property fared, like, during that bad storm that happened.
Okay, it did great. Most of the damage was in the county. It wasn't in Madison County. This property is right by the French Broad River, so anything on the French Broad River all the way into Tennessee, you know, extreme amount of flooding. So there's one property between me, this property that I'm talking about, the World Peace Lifestyle Sanctuary, and the French Broad River. There's one large property. It's actually 125 acres. It's a little hard to get to. The owners are up in Chicago. We've talked about them selling. We haven't really talked much more about it because.
But that property was a kind of a buffer then between the river and yours.
It is a buffer, yeah. It's currently, the neighbor is currently using it for cattle. It's mostly wooded with some flat area along the French Broad River. It's got to be, it's got to be 3/4 of a mile of French Broad River frontage, which is kind of nice. And, I mean, it's not kind of nice. It's very nice. And it would be so incredible if that property was included. It's a hike to get to it. You could drive into it, but you're going through two other properties to get to it. There's some gates that you got to go through because of the cows, but it'd be so amazing to rescue those cows along with taking that
right
responsibility for that property. I'm working on pulling up the link to the website. So
okay. Yeah, if you put that up, that would be great, and we can see that in the chat, and I can say it later. All right, well, thank you, Sean. It's always good to see you, and I'd like to kind of open it up now also to any other comments or questions that people have about other things related to our movement and anything that's been going on in the last month, so feel free to raise your hand or just speak up. You can unmute yourself if you're here on the Zoom call. Some people are in on their phones. You can unmute yourself by pressing, I think it's *6, because this is your time. And if we don't have anything pressing, I have plenty of things I want to talk about. So happy to do that. But Angel, go ahead. Yeah, I'd like to hear from you always.
Aloha, Will, and happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Yes, yesterday. Wow. Right, I should have mentioned that also. I think we mentioned it because yesterday we were on our monthly gathering with Gabriel Cousins, and a lot of you were on that. I know quite a few were on that. And so that was yesterday was our 32nd wedding anniversary and 32 years of fantastic joy and happiness together and learning. And it's a 1-2. I was married on the last day of my 39th year back in 1993. Yeah. So this is a big thing. So on the 20th, on the 21st, is the birthday. But yeah, go ahead. So thanks for your kind comment about that.
Well, it's like a double rainbow,
a double
celebration,
right.
Of anniversary and birthday. Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. And I'm so grateful for both of you and the dynamic duo that you are in sharing the vegan message. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you, Angel.
Thank you.
Will, I was born the exact same year as you were, Will.
Yeah.
What's that?
Right, the email you sent us. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yes. Yeah, did you get that?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. Great. Well, I'm so happy and rejoice in both of you being together and your glorious synergy. You're like two wings of the same bird flying in the common direction for the good of all. And you were saying how you were in the boat today. You're like two oars of one boat.
Right.
Going in a common direction. So yay, team there. And congratulations and great happiness to both of you. The one thing I wanted to share when you were saying, did anyone have anything to share in addition to this jubilant, rejoicing celebration occasion, auspicious occasion today, is I wanted to thank you, Will, for recommending me to be a guest on Glenn Merzer's webinar, his show.
Oh, yeah, his podcast, yeah.
Yes, podcast, YouTube podcast. And I wanted to share with everyone that I did give a hour-plus interview on that, and I would like to share that link with everyone. And also, because we all have this common goal of benefiting as many people as much as possible to bring the greatest amount of benefit to the greatest number of people, I would like to request that if anyone would like to share this link with your list, I really want to get the word spread far and wide. So that's what I wanted to share today with this whole group of like-minded vegan advocates.
Thank you, Angel. That's great. Yes, please put the link in the chat if you can. And otherwise, send it to me by email, and I'll send it around. And Glenn Merzer, if people don't know, he's a very interesting fellow, and he was the co-author with quite well-known vegan writers like Howard Lyman. He co-authored Mad Cowboy and No More Bull for Howard. He co-authored a book with Pam Popper and one with Chef AJ, and now he's doing one with Michael Clapper. He's a great writer, and he's written a couple of books on his own. He's also a playwright, and he's written plays. He was a Hollywood screenwriter or TV screenwriter, too. And he's a vegan, and he's a really neat guy. I did an interview with him about a month ago, I think. And so I was really glad he asked me for any recommendations. And, of course, Angel has written a wonderful book called Solution, The 10 Keys, right? The 10 Keys to a Vegan Life. And so, yeah, please, I think it would be great to spread the message for your body.
Yeah, I sent you the link of it, so maybe
okay. If
you could put that in your resources.
Yeah.
That would be very good. I'd appreciate
that. That's what we'll do. Yeah, we'll put
it
in the resources.
And also, if there's anyone else who would like me to be a guest on their show, I know some of the people in your community host platforms. I'm very happy to shine the light of awareness on this vitally important topic.
Terrific. Thank you. Thanks for calling all the way from Maui.
Yes, and as far as Sean goes, congratulations with your creating your vegan sanctuary there. That's awesome. And we have a vegan sanctuary on Maui. And so if there's any way we can collaborate and synergize and support each other's efforts, I would love to chat with you with that, along with my brother, who's also a vegan advocate, and see if there's any way we can support each other, because I feel that as a team, we can accomplish so much more than individually.
Right. Yeah, that's a beautiful place you have, Spirit of Aloha temple on Maui, and it's a labor of love. Your brother's been there for years, and you've been there quite a bit on and off too. So it's Madeline and I have done a number of presentations there over the years too. Great place, beautiful. I highly recommend if you ever get to Maui to visit Spirit of Aloha Temple and the peacocks and the white doves that just are there, the peace doves, and the beautiful view of the ocean and all the little huts and places to live. It's quite remarkable. He's got, I think, 15 people living there now, so it's really happening. And he's had to work, of course, with the local authorities, the government, quite a bit. That's always something. And it really kind of just depends. A lot of it depends on the county, I think, and how strict they are. Where we live, it's not too bad here because it's more rural. But if it gets more urban, then it's more difficult, typically. That's an important point. But thank you, Angel. Anything else, or is that pretty much it?
Oh, I think that's it. And Okay. Thank you so much, Will, for your, you know, consistency in spreading this vegan message. I'm so inspired by your tireless effort. And it's just, you know, we're celebrating 72 years of a real bodhisattva. So thank you for being here. And thank you for your continuous, really magnificent dynamic advocacy that makes a huge difference. And also these calls make a huge difference because they're always like the cutting edge of how we're moving forward with everything as a group. And so it's very, very good for us to have this little, you know, inner circle to guide and glide us forward. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Sean, you have your hand up. I see.
Yeah, I didn't catch the name of the person who was.
Oh, that's speaking. Angel. Yeah, Angel Honig. I can send I can send you Angel. It's okay, I'm sure, to send you her contact information.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She's an old friend of ours, like you are. And good. Okay, so thanks. Yeah.
I had one more question.
Oh, yeah.
Something that has been coming up is, I haven't heard this talked about much. And, oh, by the way, somebody asked about an animal sanctuary. Yes, I'm totally interested in something like that. But the question is about animals and the huge industry around the food for feeding these animals, right, like our cats and dogs.
Right.
And, you know, it just I don't hear that being talked about quite as much, and I thought that if that was something that we could talk about a little bit.
Yeah, we talk about it occasionally, but I think it's a good idea to bring it up because I think I noticed that Flora had a question about feeding cats. I'll just address that briefly because it's an important point. So basically, as you said, dogs and cats in the United States, if they were a nation, would be number three on the planet in terms of meat consumption. Like it'd be China, United States, and then American dogs and cats would be number three in terms of how many tons of meat are consumed. So it's a lot. Everybody, it seems like everybody has a dog or a cat. So, and they're typically buying animal, you know, fish and chicken and beef and turkey and so forth. So some of it is stuff that I guess humans would not be able to eat. So it's would be thrown away. I don't know what they would do with it. Maybe they would feed it to cows and pigs and chickens. But a lot of it becomes dog food or cat food, and it's really very bad stuff. I mean, it's very low quality typically. Causes a lot of illness in these poor animals because it is filled with fillers and all kinds of junk. So we've been somewhat friends with the founder of Evolution. Evolution is a company that makes dog food and cat food, and it's totally vegan and it's very, you know, high quality. And he claims, and I think he's probably right about this, that pretty much all dogs will do fine on a plant-based diet. You might have to, you know, get them over there, but they typically will do fine on a plant-based, like with Evolution or V-Dog. There's a number of different companies that make dog food that's vegan. And there's also a lot of recipes online. It's inexpensive. You use lentils and carrots and grains and things. They really do well. Dogs are really omnivorous. And so we've talked about this for years, and we have lots of friends who have been very successful having dogs that are vegan. And Vegan Vet, if you go to I think it's Vegan Vet or Vegan Veterinarian, Dr. Armitie May, she's got a lot of information. She's a veterinarian who lives in Arizona now. She's based in Southern California and Arizona. She can answer your questions. But for cats, this guy with Evolution says, from his experience, about 2/3 of cats will thrive on a vegan diet. And, of course, especially formulated with taurine and so forth. And we've known quite a few people whose cats do great on this. It's usually female cats do better than male cats because of the long urethra that male cats have, and it can get blocked with crystals. They need a very acidic diet, so it has to have a lot. It has to be pretty. It has to be acidic, and so sometimes some males don't do so well. But basically, female cats do well, and even males can do well as well. And you might have to, you might have to wean them off. You might, But I remember hearing a pretty interesting talk by a veterinarian from England who he just said, if you feed them the vegan dog food or cat food and they don't like it, then just wait. When they get hungry enough, they'll eat it. And once they start eating it, they'll like it, and they'll get used to it. And we have other friends who said that once they get used to it, they preferred it to the real, so-called real stuff, the meat. You know, they would put out both, and they'd say, no, I don't want the meat, I want this. So so I think it's just like anything, just let people get used to it, or let the animal people get used to it. And it really is, I think, it really is better. I mean, if you can, I know there's a lot of vegan activists that say, no, it's abusing them, they should eat meat. But I really feel, why not? I mean, if we can minimize the amount of suffering and exploitation of animals, we should do it. And these animals, anyway, they're at our mercy. They only eat whatever we give them. So if we want to have a companion animal for some reason, I mean, then it's good if they're a rescue or something, then to do the best we can not to have other animals suffer for our animals. I think it's a really important point. So thank you. Thanks for bringing that up and emphasizing that. And you can look into that. There's recipes online. There's companies that make it. It is being successfully done by lots of vegans. And I think it's a fantastic thing. It's important. Of course, people who are not vegan, they're not going to do it. But unless they find that the animals will be healthier. But the other thing is that these poor companion animals are vaccinated so much, and that destroys their health. And then, of course, it also plants the seeds. Well, since my dog was vaccinated, I should get vaccinated too, right? I mean, they do this whole thing of getting people programmed by what they do with their animals. It's part of Big Pharma's, playbook to make everybody sick and make a lot of money. Okay, so great questions. Krista, you have your hand up. Would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
Yes, thank you. Well, first of all, echo the birthday wishes. And thank you so much for, sharing your day with us and being on this call on that special day. That's amazing.
You look amazing,
of course, needless to say. And that's wonderful about you and Madeline, too. And on the subject of, this wasn't what I wanted to share about, but my cat Sammy was a vegan, and he thrived. He did fantastic. It was a transition, it took some getting used to, but he'd been carrying excess weight, even though I was really limiting his food. And I really was worried about the transition, and I researched it pretty thoroughly. I was living in New York City at the time, and was friends with a vegan veterinarian who'd actually done peer-reviewed research on whether supplementing with taurine would be sufficient for cats. And answer yes. And so I fed him Evolution diet and he lost the excess weight. His coat got so shiny. He had so much energy. He really did fantastic. And for me, I mean, I really feel like this is a big issue, the non-vegan animal companions with vegans, because it's like, how can we credibly preach about speciesism when we have animal companions who are eating other animals, you know,
right.
through us, you know, that it's just kind of like any real credibility to me kind of falls apart right there. So maybe we don't have animal companions at all. I think that's a bigger issue, but,
right.
I on a totally different subject. Well, I was going to ask you what you think of, Yuval Harari, the author of Sapiens, and now this book Nexus, which I started reading at someone's recommendation. And I'm just wondering what you think of him and his work.
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, and I don't feel that I'm super qualified to make a very sophisticated answer to your question, because he's a complex character. The thing about him, I mean, he's a vegan,
I believe.
I know, he's
yeah.
a vegan, but he's also sort of like the brains for the World Economic Forum. I mean,
yeah.
they trot him out to tell everybody that, the idea that human beings have a soul, that they are spiritual, that's over. We know that humans are just hackable animals. And so the problem is, what do you do with all these excess humans? We don't need them anymore. We have AI. We have robotics. We're going to entertain them. We're going to, like, feed them. I mean, we don't need them. What are we going to do with them? And so I don't know if, you know, when he talks, there's a certain feeling that he's just a materialist. But I don't know him that well. I don't know. Maybe he does have a spiritual side. But he does. He just raises. He says there's extreme dangers in the changes that are happening in our society with robotics and so forth. And we don't need people to do a lot of the stuff that's going to be done. So we what are we going to do with all the extra people? But there's this underlying kind of narrative that if we're not working a job to make money for somebody, then we're just useless, right? I mean, there's no idea that, you know, how about unleashing creativity and music and art and beauty and, you know, so forth. That just seems, it's like looking at humans like they're just mere, like, human resources, you know, like they're just objects to fit into some kind of a system. So I've never read his books. I just haven't taken the time to read his books. I did see part of an interview that he did with Rich Roll, which I thought was pretty interesting, because he was saying that AI shouldn't mean artificial intelligence. It should mean alien intelligence. He said this intelligence, it's weird. It's beyond what we understand, and it's completely it could completely take over everything. It's alien intelligence, he's calling it, and he's kind of sounding the alarm a little bit. But I haven't been following him lately, and I haven't read his books, so somebody else might know better. But personally, I'm not. I have a lot of alarm bells go off when
yeah.
he says things. There's a sort of he's sort of expediting, it seems to me, transhumanism, you know, which
yeah,
which,
and the new world order,
the transhumanism, this whole idea that we're just hackable animals and they're going to have that's the whole mRNA, this Bill Gates and everything. It's like reducing us to livestock. We're just livestock, and you've got to cull the herd. We got to genetically modify the herd, make them better, get rid of the ones we don't need. It really connects very much with eugenics. It's actually the old eugenics model. If you know eugenics, that's really what took off. Darwin's brother-in-law, Huxley, one of those guys, I forget his name, but Huxley was involved with that too, the father. But the whole idea is we need to breed humans in a way and get rid of the ones that are kind of inferior races and inferior intelligence and this and that. And that became, that was really a very popular thing. I write about it quite a bit in my book, Food for Freedom. And it comes out of animal agriculture. You know, we have 10,000 years of eugenics for cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys and ducks and geese, and we breed these animals for certain positive qualities. And they were saying, well, we should do that for humans too. And Planned Parenthood came right out of that. I mean, it's the same people. You get rid of the babies you don't want and abortions and all this stuff. It's pushing the idea that we're just animals and we should breed ourselves for positive characteristics. And I think there's a lot of racism and all kinds of stuff involved in that. But underlying everything is the wealthy class the globalist, the sort of the predator class or the plutocrats that run these large corporations and run the media and so forth. This narrative always goes. It's always the narrative of there's too many people. Oh, there's too many people. We got to reduce the population because of climate change. You know.
And, I'm definitely getting a creepy feeling just reading like this. I'm only in the first few chapters of his book, and he makes just even in just the Roman numeral pages, I was just getting offended and horrified. You know.
Really.
And in the same measure, just in the introduction. Because he would be saying like, you either believe in the New York Times and science or you are an anti-vaxxer who doesn't believe in science, but will believe the Quran or scriptures from the Bible. And, just lumping in, just anti-vaxxers, anyone who uses that term. I know what their views are, but just by their use of that term, you know, to kind of describe anybody who just is complete, you know.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't read it. Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, because like I say, I'm anti-murder, anti-rape, anti-oppression, anti-vax. I mean, it all goes together.
vax in like,
oh my God!
Theory,
are you kidding?
But like,
is it poisoning people? I mean, it's all vaccines are is poison. You know, animal cells and poison. I mean, it always hurts people. It always harms them. It never does not harm people. It always harms them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to agree. I mean, I'm starting to think you're probably right. Like, I don't know if anyone else follows the Dark Horse podcast, but Brett and Heather Weinstein are pretty anti-vegan, but you know, they essentially.
He thought that the vaccines were some kind of a good idea. And I thought,
yeah, but they've totally flipped. They totally flipped.
Have they now?
They have been totally flipped for a long time. Okay. And they were speaking out against the COVID shots. And they even on one of the last podcasts that I listened to, he was even saying that he doesn't think that any vaccine can be made safely. You know, he said maybe the only one that maybe there's a possibility that it does more good than harm is the rabies vaccine, is what he was saying. Just because, according to him,
you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's right, but I mean, yeah. Anyway, but yeah. Yuval Harari is really creeping me out, and I'm reading it because like I am gravely concerned about AI and what the implications for humanity. So if he has some helpful information or some helpful insights on that subject, I'm open to hearing them. But so far, I'm not getting drawn in.
Right. Well, thanks for the report, and I'm not surprised. There's a lot of things happening, I think, to try to turn humanity into livestock. Like, that's basically it. It's like we own you and we tell you where you go and take away your freedom of movement. That's what climate change is all about. And just to let you know, I just want to mention this. I know we're going to run out of time. It always happens. I did some of you probably have already seen it, a special video with Jeff Nelson about climate change. I finally decided to just do one with him because he's got quite a lot of followers and now has over 3,000 views. And it prompted Bill Tara and Marlene Watson Tara of the Human Ecology Project, which is in England, and they're longtime vegan advocates. And their organization has several people on the board of advisors, myself, T. Colin Campbell, and a few other people, including Silas Rao. And so then they emailed me and said, well, people are wondering, you know, you're on the board and Silas Rao's on the board, and now he's preaching climate change and you're questioning climate change. So on Saturday, Silas Rao and I are going to have a discussion about climate change, and they're going to videotape it. So I guess that'll go up. And I just you know, it's so funny because the idea is, well, don't you have some common ground, you know, that you can talk about? And it's like, sure. I mean, we have so much common ground. I mean, veganism, that animal agriculture is destroying the environment, in all these different ways, water pollution, water depletion, air pollution, soil erosion, species extinction, rainforest destruction, ocean destruction, all those things. But then when it comes to climate, and that's his whole thing, and a lot of vegans are still saying this so much, like, go vegan for the climate. And I've become really, aware and clear that this is not something that is in our best interest to use to help people go vegan for the climate. Number one, a lot of people are realizing that it's a psyop, and vegans shouldn't be using psyops that are false to spread something that's true. It's just unethical, right? To use a lie to promote something that's true. And it's a house of cards. I mean, the whole thing is a house of cards. It would be blown over by the truth, except they build these gigantic walls around it, and no one can get to it. You can't, you know, if you try to say something against climate change, you'll never be reported on in the New York Times. Or on, even on YouTube, you get canceled. So, in fact, our video, YouTube put a little disclaimer under there about climate change. So there's this continual censorship of the truth. And that's the thing, because it's based on a lie. It's based on huge lies. In fact, and I just wanted to mention this, after that whole thing happened, a few days later, I just happened to run across a new study that epitomizes the whole thing. And it's from the researchers in Athens, Greece, the University of Athens. And they spelled it out very clearly that science is never settled. If it's settled, it's not science. If it's science, it's not settled. We can't say the science is settled about anything. And so this idea that we shouldn't even question climate change or vaccines and so forth, that it's settled, is ridiculous. And they also made the point that the idea of a greenhouse, like greenhouse gas, greenhouse effect, it's complete nonsense. It comes from 1800, you know, 19th century delusions that the Earth is like a greenhouse and it has this atmosphere that's actually and reflects the heat back in and so forth, and it's completely not true. It's based on radiative heating and cooling, and not convection like a greenhouse. And so it's the principles are complete nonsense. Everything is nonsense. And the point that they made that I thought was really important to just emphasize underlying everything is that there are certain permanent gases that are in the atmosphere, and we all know what they are. Nitrogen is like most of it, 78%, and oxygen is 21%, and argon is 1%, and so that leaves nothing left except carbon dioxide, which is 0.04%, tiny amount, but it's a permanent gas. But then there's also temporary, and the main temporary gas that kind of varies is water vapor. And water vapor is the radiative gas. It is the gas that basically determines, holds in heat, lets heat out. It's really the gas that determines the amount of what our temperature is. Besides, of course, changes in the solar, you know, how much heat the sun is giving, and Milankovitch cycles and cosmic rays, all these things that change cloud cover. There's a lot of variables. It's incredibly complex. But the idea is that water vapor is 95% of the power, and carbon dioxide is only 5%. It is the main. So that has been completely swept under the rug, and the IPCC, they ignore that. And that's what these scientists are pointing out. How can you ignore that carbon dioxide is only 95%? And then on top of that, of the carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere, 96% is created naturally by the oceans and by respiration and by rocks moving and breaking down. All these things are constant. The carbon cycle. So human activity, burning fossil fuels and so forth, whatever it is, whatever we do, is only 4% of 5%. We could burn all the fossil fuels. We can do whatever we want. It's not going to ever change the climate. It has no chance that it can. And yet, why is that not on the New York Times? Like, why is this information not on CNN and NBC? Why is there a walls up around the House of Cards? You can't ever blow on it because they want to make sure that House of Cards doesn't get blown over. And so we're on the wrong side of history if we're trying to defend veganism from this point of view. So I'm just really kind of exasperated because it seems to me that it's just unconscionable, really, to use these lies that harm our movement so much and to just use them. Anyway, go vegan for the climate. And when people laugh at vegans for believing in this, and it's going to happen more and more. You know, people that are awake are just going to be laughing at stupid vegans. And it just destroys our credibility. We lose the moral high ground. We lose the intellectual high ground. But we have to believe in climate change because it's like a faith-based religion. And the thing is, there's $1.7 trillion every year spent promoting it. That's the thing. So it just keeps rolling on because there's so much money invested in this system to take away our freedom of movement. And that's what you do if you want to imprison cows and pigs and chickens. You don't let them move. Now you've got slaves. So 15-minute cities, all that stuff. So I think we'll see how it goes, but I'm going to be talking to him about this on Saturday for a little while. Okay, we get some hands up here, and we're getting late. Go ahead, Judy, please. I'd love to hear whatever you have to say.
Hi, Will. Thank you, and happy anniversary, and happy birthday.
Oh, Madeline, thanks. You too, yeah.
Yes. So I just put in the chat, someone was asking, it's Silas Rao of Climate Healers that you're going to be having this discussion with, and it's on Saturday, and do you have a link yet?
No, it's just going to be a recording. It's not live.
Okay.
It's the four of us, Bill and Marlene and Silas and me, we will have a recording, and then it'll go up on YouTube and you can watch it.
And then,
so I don't know
what's
going to happen.
Okay.
So
So thank you. I'm so pleased that you're doing that. I saw the Jeff Nelson thing that you did. It was unbelievable. It was so good. Your PowerPoint was spot on. It was just excellent. And, I mean, everybody needs to see those slides that you put out. But I'm going backwards here a little bit to Chrissy and thanking her for bringing up Noah Yuval Harari. I read Homo Deus about, 5 years ago or something like that. And that's what inspired me to write Homo Ahimsa, because I read what he said, and he was basically, in that book, he was talking about the extreme wealthy people who will have the money to use this AI to live forever. And that's why he calls it Homo Deus. These are God humans. And they will have the money to get bionic arms and bionic brains and all these things. And the rest of us just, you know, we're useless. And, but at the same time in the book, he did talk about the terrible thing about animal agriculture and about his veganism. And so I was really confused until I found out he was with the World Economic Forum. And then I realized, okay, this guy is, he is not somebody to be listening to, but, except to just know that he's out there and something to be reckoned with. But my book, Homo Ahimsa, is the alternative. We're going to rise up in consciousness, all of us, no matter how rich or poor we are, and create this beautiful world. So, leaving behind his Homo Deus theory. But that was basically what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Judy. Yeah. it's so great that you were inspired to write Homo Ahimsa because of him, which really brings it back, because the Homo Deus idea is this kind of a satanic idea that we're better than God. We can engineer everything. It's this pure materialism, which is the opposite of spirituality.
Absolutely.
It's a pure materialism that is so tempting for, you know, it's like, wow, we can make this place. I mean, oh my gosh. And it's about control. It's about control, domination of nature, and controlling animals and nature and each other. It comes right out of animal agriculture. I mean, animal agriculture is about dominating and exploiting nature and the sacred feminine, just dominating the sacred feminine, dominating nature. It's this male mental power to just exploit and use. And it's crippling to our spirituality. It's just destructive. So,
well, and like you said, he said, you have no souls.
Yeah, I mean,
so he either believes that and has no sense of his own soul, or he's saying that in order to cause so much fear in people that they will comply.
I think that's part of it. The idea is that you can't stop us. This is going to happen. Nothing you can do is going to help. So people feel powerless. So I think it's really important. Never feel powerless. Spirit is much more powerful than anything on the material level. And we are eternal consciousness. And really do the spiritual practice to be established in this awareness of our eternal nature. This world, the human world, is a gymnasium. We're here to learn, to build up our ethical muscles, and to help each other and help animals. No matter what they say, they're trying to distract us and make us afraid, so we'll be controlled. You know, and we see it happening. Now they have this new virus in China. I'm sure it's going to be coming over here. Everybody's going to have to wear a mask again. I mean, hopefully we have learned something from the last PSYOP, and we won't participate in that nonsense. I mean, that's really going to be a test. All right. Thanks, Judy. We're getting close. We still have a few more minutes. Let's see. Susan, you had a question or comment?
Unmute. Hey, thank you. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday and everything.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome, Luke, Will, Madeline. And
who's Madeline?
Where are you? Hey, Madeline. Happy anniversary. And thanks so much for most everybody on Facebook. But anyway, I missed the event yesterday with
Dr. Cousins. Yeah.
And where's that going to be posted?
Yeah, so as soon as I get the link, I told them that they should send out the link to the recording. So they do record it, and they do put it on their website, and it's also on YouTube. But every time they never send the link out. And so I finally get it later, and I put it up later. So I just in this month's resources, I put up the link for number 4, number 5, and number 6, which was number 6 was yesterday. I'll put it up. I'll let you know. I'll send it out in email so you can find it. Yeah, because it was a good one. I think it was really good. It was on ecology. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So listen, I don't want to be a downer, but I hate the name of their organization, Vegan Community. I think it's very presumptuous. I think they shouldn't be calling it the Vegan Community, because we know the Vegan Community is the Vegan Community or whatever it is. And I don't like that they're taking the name of the Vegan Community, because if their organization falls, well, then everyone's going to say the Vegan Community failed. So I have to send them a message. See if they could rethink that.
Okay.
And Angel, I wanted to ask her if she could post the name and stuff for a web site for her community, because, you know, I'm in Hawaii, and I didn't know it was open to the public or anything like that, so I don't really know the details. So it's
yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Spirit of Aloha Temple. You might be able to just Google. Don't Google. Use something else besides Google. DuckDuckGo. But anyway, Spirit of Aloha Temple on Maui. I think you'll probably get it that way. But he does have a website. Yeah.
Okay, super.
Yeah.
And the last, well, I thought I'd mention that, let's see what happened here. I just almost totally finished reading Gail Eisnitz's recent book, which is really excellent and really helps you just be so impressed with how she did what she did. And, so I'm gonna get a hold of her and see if I could get her telephone number and see what happens. Now, there's no way in the world that she would not be a vegan, right? But she never, of course, uses the word vegan. But there wouldn't be no way in the world that she's not a vegan, right?
I think so. I mean, I don't know her, but I mean, I met her, but I didn't ask her if she was vegan. But she's spent so much time in slaughterhouses and factory farms and doing undercover work. So I feel that she's certainly a vegan, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm gonna try to get her on the phone. And I wanted to say, as a matter of fact, it says at the end of her book that she's settled into the whatchamacallit, where Sean is. And so I'm gonna ask her.
Or Asheville, North Carolina. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'll try to tell her about that.
Okay. That might be a good connection. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She's
great.
Great. Okay.
Thanks. Good to see you, Susan. Thanks. Okay. Last one we were done is Lisa. You have your hand up?
Yes. So before we say the world peace prayer, I suggest we sing the happy birthday song. But not just happy birthday, we sing happy anniversary and happy birthday alternating, so we celebrate these two.
Wow.
So, great celebration. Shall we?
So you want everybody to unmute?
Hello, everyone. Let's unmute. So, let's start with happy anniversary and then happy birthday, okay?
Okay.
Happy anniversary to you.
And many, many more.
Wow, that's beautiful. All right.
And then we can do the world peace prayer.
Okay, let's do the world peace prayer
right
now.
Right on time.
It's, right on time. Beautiful. Okay, so we all know it's compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Let's say it together.
Compassion encircles the earth
for all beings
everywhere.
Again, compassion
encircles the
earth
everywhere.
And one more time with feeling.
Compassion
circles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Wow. Beautiful. So I didn't have a chance to go through the resources, but please do check the resources. Lots of great things there. There's the whole, let's say it very briefly, there's my interview with Jeff Nelson is there, my new essay, Boats Returning Home, and also How Mind Control is Exacted on Us with Dr. Will Tuttle, and Dr. Will Tuttle's Spiritual Journey with Glenn Mercer. And then there's a whole lot of news and great things, and Madeline also. So please check the resources and go forth and multiply the message. And I want to thank all of you for all the efforts you're making. I'll send out the information on Sean for his contact information. And if you have any other questions, just send me an email, and we'll take it from there. And we'll look forward to seeing you all in September 1st, first Thursday for the for our prayer, our meditation, first Thursday meditation, and then the third Thursday. So thank you for the beautiful song that you gave. Kenny Rosler. We have a professional singer here, so it really sounded good. So thank you for your love, and thanks, Lisa, for,
I suggest
for
all
you guys are doing.
I suggest we also take a group picture online. Shall we turn our camera on? We'll take a group picture.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Okay.
Well, you turn everybody turn on their cameras, and then I'll take a group screenshot.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we all smile.
Smile or raise your hands. Okay, one, two, vegan.
Yay.
Whoopies. Awesome.
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Happy birthday,
everyone.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time. All right, bless
you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Love everyone.
Right. Love you.
Take care. Thanks.
Love you, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yay.